This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
It's Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. This part of the show is brought to you by Bad Advice. We give that on the regular on our secret show. And joining us on our secret show today, and joining us right now live from Slappy Studios in Mill Valley, It's the one and only Mo Mandel. Fully chest haired out, absolutely caffeinated to the gills, no donuts.
Well, oh my God.
I had promised donuts. And listen, this, I did everything in my power. You know, we were on our way
except
out.
Except stop for a donut.
Right. Yes. Except that was the only thing I didn't do. No, but actually, I tried and my Uber was not updating to, like, you know, you want to add like a stop.
Yes.
And I had a driver and I was like, you know, I was like, hey, it's not updating. Can you stop for donuts? And this dude just spoke like not even a lick of English, like just none. So I apologize to this gentleman who I just said donut to 57 times, thinking that would bridge the English Mandarin gap, which he did not seem to do. And then finally Uber updated when I got to Mill Valley. But this place is too baller to have donut shops, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't do that here. It's correct. Too healthy in Mill Valley.
All I found was something that a woman makes fancy breadsticks, whatever the hell that is. So that was my
the
only
street
option.
Corner breadstick lady.
Yeah,
sure.
That was my only option. I could get you like an alfalfa breadstick, but there was no donuts for 47 miles.
This won't help you now, but in the future, pull up a picture of a donut on your phone.
Oh, see that?
I did.
What?
What?
I don't understand how that did not make it work.
Maybe that guy just doesn't eat donuts in his culture or something.
I mean, I couldn't believe that didn't do it.
Wow, all right.
The guy looked at it, he was just like, still nothing. Still absolutely
no. You needed to pull up a picture and put $20 next to it.
Yeah, that's
okay,
what that
I'll
was.
Make the stop.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure he probably did speak English. He was like, dude,
I'm not stopping. It's annoying enough. I have to take you over the bridge. So Mo, you're playing at the Punchline. You started last night. We actually have some tickets to give away. So at the end of the interview, I'll give you the phone number and you can start calling in. Nikki's going to take a bunch of people. We have a few pairs for tonight's show and for the late show on Friday, which is a fun one to see.
Ooh, it gets wild.
One. Yeah.
These shows are getting wild.
Are they?
People forgot how to be audience members during COVID.
What
and
happened?
And how to drive and how to be civil towards there's a lot of things we forgot.
And they no longer know how to recognize a picture of a donut when they see it.
Nope.
It's just all gone downhill.
So you were saying that you had an incident last night.
Yeah, last night the crowd was great. A lot of fans of the show were actually there from when I did the secret show the other day or whatever that was.
The random hookup. The happy hour.
Show. That's right. But I've never seen this before. So there was these two tables that just kind of were like interacting with me a lot. And like the guy in the club had to keep telling them like, you guys got to stop talking. You guys got to stop talking.
You're not in the show.
Yeah. 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 But they thought they were. I mean, they were really just like, they were loving the show, but they were loving it. And then they would turn to the person next and be like going off on whatever I was talking about. Then they had their own bit on it that they wanted to share.
Oh.
You know, they're like, if you think his take on that's funny, wait till you hear what I got.
Did you just walk over and hand them the mic? I'm done.
I was just like, listen, if it's good, write it down. Maybe I'll use it at the Thursday show. But what I've never seen this happen, where the guy kept telling one of them to be quiet, then he'd go to the other table on the other side of the room. And then at one point, the woman at one of the sides got up and walked over to the other table and started talking to her. I was like, you guys are both talking individually, and now you've gotten together to powwow right in the middle of the club.
Oh, I thought these
the disruptors are forming a gang, is what you're saying.
It was like, you know that show Voltron where the robots form one giant robot?
Oh, no, but okay, go on.
It was like they formed together to form some sort of monster heckler. All right. Was unbelievable.
That is, well, disruptive at best.
Yeah, they were like, so what should we talk about next? Let's powwow. Let's come up with a strategy.
Right.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. But other than that,
it was a great show. Yeah, it was great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you are actually, in the olden days, you would often be here in San Francisco. Do you travel with your wife? Or is this, you're by yourself in a hotel room, in a sad hotel room?
His wife's not doing this with him. She's
That's
a doctor.
True. She is a doctor. That's true.
No, but she does have to now because she's ovulating this weekend. So she's coming down.
Somebody is.
We're trying to make that sweet baby love.
To get some.
The baby.
Put the lotion in the basket or whatever.
So, yeah, no, she's having to come down just to get a couple rounds in. And then,
well, that's fun for you.
It is. Well, I don't know.
A lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure.
But you've made this decision. You guys are having a baby.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
By the way, thank you. Could I just say, and I'm not name dropping here, but you guys know who Marc Maron is, right?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a very insulting conversation with him this week at the Comedy Store in LA about this. I tell him, I go, he's like, so what have you been doing? I'm like, me and my wife trying to have a kid. He goes, how are you going to support a family? So I'm like, dude, what? First of all, my wife's a doctor, so I won't have to. But you didn't know that. It's incredibly insulting. Like, yeah. It was so incredulous of this disbelief. Like, but that's not with your career. It's like, Mark.
You?
Dude, come on. You didn't have a career until 10 years ago.
That's hurtful.
Yeah. So, Mark, come on. Just have me on WTF just to make it up to me.
Yeah, there you go. But this is his pitch to get on the show. But the decision is made and you're doing this and you're ready to give up your career and be a stay-at-home dad.
No, wait a minute. I did not say that.
Nobody ever says that.
Wow. Yeah. No, I do not want to be a stay-at-home dad. I figure what's going to happen is something enormous is going to happen in the next 9 months. I'm going to become Judd Apatow.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah, so this is
yeah, you're going to be discovered.
Yes. Look, you guys don't understand what's happening in Hollywood right now. They want more straight, white, 40-year-old males. That's what they're after down there.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Hollywood is like, where's the next 40-year-old straight, white guy that we can give it all to? So that's what's going to happen, Vinny. Yeah. And I see you laughing, but, you know.
No, I'm with you. I think Everybody Loves Mo sounds like a great TV show,
100%.
And you should definitely get a 10-year run out of that.
Everybody loves straight white male Mo. That's yep. And the Jews right. are popular right now. We've had a great year. You know, this Israel thing's raised our stock. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's all going to happen.
Yeah. You've got it. You've really got it working on all ends, all sides.
Yeah.
Mo Mandel, everyone. Probably his last appearance on this show as he's about to skyrocket to stardom.
Take a picture of that couch where he sat, Sarah. You want to mark that.
I will. You know what? I'm going to make that Mo's seat, and no one else can ever sit there.
There you go.
I'll get you a jersey. You put it on the wall behind.
Big star Mo sat here last.
Yeah.
You can't sit down.
Do you have a vision board that's helping you get there?
No, it's just sort of like a weeping prayer every morning as I hear my wife.
You got to visualize this stuff. You know, it's
okay. I'll try to do that.
You got
to
have a positive. You have to, right? Don't they say you got to manifest this?
Yeah.
Because we need this to happen.
We do. We need
you
this.
Know?
All of us together collectively need this to happen.
I need you to be humongous. Yes, Vinny, your hand is up.
Let me ask you this. So speaking of Marc Maron, and I don't know his early comedy, and I've actually never listened to his podcast, but his podcast has made him. Like he's back in a way that he never had been.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, as a comedian, do you find yourself thinking, I should just do a podcast?
Wow,
I mean,
Vinny,
Joe Rogan's
what a brilliant
turned it into
out of the box idea. A comedian starting a podcast.
Listen,
wow. You know, with
Joe
that
Rogan
kind of
cashed into the tune of $100 million plus.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
Maron,
and you know what? LeBron James makes a lot of money doing basketball. Maybe I just give that a shot.
You know, well, are you any good at it?
These brilliant ideas.
Yeah, if you can throw the ball through the hoop, you should try that then.
Yeah.
You know, I have a car. Lewis Hamilton makes $40 million a year as a Formula One driver. Maybe I just sort of, you know, see what I can do on the freeway next
time. Oh, don't be so crass about it, Mo.
So you're saying you couldn't make that happen?
I'm saying podcasting, I think my mom has three podcasts at this point. I mean, it's like, who doesn't have a podcast?
Yeah,
I don't disagree.
But the good ones rise to the top.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I got to do something
different. You think you would suck at it? What kind of self-belief is that?
Well, I don't think I would suck at it. I've had four different podcasts over the class.
Oh, you've already done it. Oh, I see. Okay, right.
And none of them worked, huh? Well, what were the names? What were the names? Let's see if that's the problem.
Okay, well, one, we did like 130 episodes, me and my wife. It was pretty good.
You and your wife?
Yeah.
The what is she again?
Urologist. Close to the proctologist, just around the corner.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It was called The Full Release.
Oh, and that didn't work, huh? That's a pretty good name.
Yeah, that was good. Name. It was like Loveline. We had Dan Savage on, you know. We had some good guests. It was like a sex medicine podcast.
Did you not have a salesperson who was making that, you know, that sweet, sweet money for you?
Yeah, we never quite got there. We had like 20,000 listeners or something like that. Which
That's a lot. You can monetize that. Jesus, you should have called me.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do that. So then I started one. Maybe we should fire that one back up.
Yeah, maybe.
But here's the problem. My wife, like, she wouldn't do any of the, she would only, like, talk in the for the 1 hour, and then she'd be like, you know, we should edit it like this and this. And I'm like, well, you don't even know how to do any of that. So then I was just sort of like her kind of grunt office guy on it, you know? So I don't know.
Oh, so she was dispensing all the,
yes,
all the really solid information. You were the comic relief and the editor and producer.
Exactly. But like,
Bryn, we need to really have
a
consultation.
She was the talent.
He
was the producer.
Yeah, I was like the Bryn, but then also unpaid. And then also there was a lot of pressure and she would withhold sex if I didn't edit it right. You know, it just got complicated.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if Bryn also does that, by the way.
Yeah, withhold sex all the time.
If we're not funny enough, yeah. Poor Anita. She doesn't even know what's happening. Why won't you do me?
And then I start a podcast this year. This is really true. Called Jews Control the Media. And that one did not take off like I thought it would.
Oh. Hmm.
I thought it would be like funny. There was all this anti-Semitism going on with Nick Cannon and stuff. So I was like, we could do like where like two Jewish guys kind of roast anti-Semitism. We got like three Jewish listeners and like 500 pro-Farrakhan dudes who would just write us nasty emails. And so that didn't take off like I hoped it would.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but you had 20,000 listeners to your wife one. You had to go back to the, was it hard to just work? You weren't married at the time.
No. No. Well, we kept doing it until midway through the pandemic. The problem is like a sex medicine podcast. So like how much can I just talk about genitalia? Like, I mean, according to my stand-up act for about 40 minutes, but it was just,
right.
Yeah. All right. Never mind. I don't know why.
All day, every day is the answer.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you're going to be fun on The Secret Show today. I can tell.
I'm excited. Oh, there's a lot of dirtiness.
Oh, God. It's so filthy. All right. It's filthy. Like yesterday was crazy. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't cut you off, but like, I'll tell you, being married makes me feel scummier and pervier than ever because now I'm still like checking out girls and stuff, but I've got like this wedding ring on and it's just like extra. I mean, I know it's human, but it's weird, you know? Like the other day I was in this bar and this girl saw me looking at her and she goes, and I think she liked me. She goes like, are you just going to look or are you going to come talk to me? And I was just like, dumb, I'm just going to look.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's just what I'm going to do.
That's really the extent of what
I'll probably think.
Well, you're a newlywed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. It's got to be hard being on the road and having, you know, adoring fans and your wife is elsewhere. I mean, certainly it's a life of temptation.
Yeah, I love my wife so much.
Yeah, but people proposition you all the time. I mean, oh, really?
So lazy.
Yeah. It's nice having your sex drive go down.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Tell us about that.
It's just good. Like, I used to be on the road and, you know, I was just always scumming it up or...
Were you?
If I was and I was just...
What does scumming it up mean for you?
Then you know what it means.
I don't know. I'm curious. Would you say that you were doing a girl a night when you were on the road?
Well, I was doing?
Were you making love? I'm sorry. Is that what you were doing?
What kind of sweet love were you making?
Yeah, I mean, was this love making? Sorry.
Tell us more.
Baby, I'm gonna do you tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
You're gonna get done.
I'm done with you. Get your clothes and get out.
I was a big fan of getting drunk and then not using a condom and having a full-blown panic attack on the plane home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was my signature move.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was really the momento move. Just like, have a great weekend of doing comedy, get drunk, not use a condom, wake up, think you have AIDS, and you got someone pregnant as you fly home from Indiana and you ruined your life. That was my sweet move. Put on that sexy music while I talk about that.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to not use a condom. Then I'm going to get up and go to the airport and have a full-blown panic attack while texting my therapist.
That's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So were you like, did you have like girlfriends in all these places, or you just whatever lady would have you that night, you would?
I was a big single mom guy. You know, that was my sort of on the road, you know, single moms who come
your
to shows
go-to.
Who like get the babysitter and they're like, I got to take, this night has to be worth it. You know, like I'm just not coming to the show. I want to get my money's worth.
And then so, you would take them to your hotel room or just backstage? Or?
No, definitely my hotel room. I never did backstage.
Never?
That's just too gross. I mean, like, it's,
is
I'm
it?
Too germaphobia, you know what I mean? I don't want to.
Are you?
I don't want to have sex on the couch that, like,
so much cleaner, right?
You know, John Heffron had sex on in 1998. You know
you better get off that couch then. That's, wow. That is the dirty, that's the seedy underbelly of
you know, but it's
the
not
life
seedy.
Of Mo Mandel.
I think it was, you know, there was a lot of fun times, but now, I don't know. I mean, there are a few moments. Like, when I was on Chelsea Lately and things were really popping, I definitely got offered a few, like, threesomes that I've never been offered before or since. I had a girlfriend at the time, and I turned them down.
Oh,
and
you had
I,
to say no.
Oh, you
I
turned
feel,
them down.
Yeah, if I have any regrets in my life, it's not getting donuts on the way here and turning that down.
Yeah. All right, on that note, we're going to give away these tickets. Start calling now, 800-400-3697. We'll start with caller number 9, and we've got tickets for tonight and tickets for tomorrow night, the late show, so you can choose until we run out of some of them. But call now, 800-400-3697. You can check out Mo Mandel at the Punchline. Mo, you're going to hang out for a little bit, and then you're going to join us on the Secret Show.
Absolutely.
We're very excited. Back with the news.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at
97.3. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.